And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 146.
146.
Welcome to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm your host. I'm one of your hosts, Silas Lindenstein.
I'm the other of your hosts, Samantha Run.
And we make up the team of Black and a Half. We are your go-to podcast. We are your go-to filmmakers. We are your go-to stand-up comedians. Your go-to real estate agent. Your go-to life coach.
You should start a go-to dojo.
A go-to dojo?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we're all caught up on Cobra Kai, so I feel like we know what to do and not to do.
Are you, dojo you watch style. Cobra Kai?
Heck yeah, I watch Cobra Kai. I love karate.
I didn't know.
Yeah, man.
Joe, are you on Cobra Kai?
I've seen the first season and a half.
How do you not finish it? How could you stop?
Well, Mandalorian came on, and then I started watching that, and then I don't watch that much TV. I mostly sit in my kitchen and drink beer and stare out the window.
That's why I have an iPad.
Play solitaire.
I don't know how you can stop Cobra Kai.
Wait for COVID to end, you know.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. Yeah, so this is our guest. You may have heard here. Recurring guest on here, a regular of the program, Joseph Greenhour.
How he says recurring guest the same way somebody might say recurring nightmare.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is a guest that's recurring. He comes back. We don't know why, but you know, just when you think you're safe, then this guest comes back and it's jarring.
Joe is the Orchid King of Seattle. He is the owner of Emerald City Orchids. And he's the self-proclaimed Lamb of Wall Street.
I am the Lamb of Wall Street.
Joe came on the show to chat with us and hang out. We're recording this right before the inauguration, so hopefully everything went okay.
Hopefully the world is still here enough for people to listen to this.
Yeah. He came on to chat with us and then to talk about his investing or his gambling, whatever, the stock. He has a stock market challenge, a self-done that I'm joining him on. It's the $100 to $1 million challenge using stock market apps, whether it's Robinhood or Webull. And if you want to play along with Joe, you can use one of the – if you don't have one of those apps, use the link in the description to sign up, and you get a free stock, and I get a free stock, and that's what's important. Is that I get something free. You could get a stock for AMC, which is not doing well, or you get a stock for Microsoft. You don't know. It's something great could happen to you today. For us, for Samantha and I, the great thing was Joe coming on the show. Right?
Yeah.
It's the best part of the week, right, Samantha?
It is a highlight of the week.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. It was informative. I learned something.
Yeah, learned that we talked a lot about stocks. I got Samantha's investing now. Yeah. We're going to have her be a millionaire soon. And
I like that idea very much.
Yeah, and then we chatted a bit about the inauguration, about our feelings leading up to it, and where we see some things going, and basically
bagpipes.
How we feel. Bagpipes, we talked about.
Music.
Mm-hmm. Music and DNA.
We tried to have a bagpipe sing-along, but it didn't go well.
Didn't know.
Although there's hope for it leading to future bliss. If you stay further in the episode, you may be one of the lucky ones that gets to see this performance, yeah. Which may be preceded by him sitting at the window drinking beer like he normally does. Before getting performance ready.
So that's it. that'll be the show. We want to give a big shout out to our supporters. If you like the program, hey, you know what? If we've done anything for you, if we have brought you a little bit of happiness or given you a different outlook on some things, go ahead and hit the like and subscribe button for the show. And leave a five-star review. It really helps us out. You know, if we've done nothing for you, sorry about that. And if you really want to enjoy and support the show, you can become one of our Patreon members. You can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf. And for as little as $1, you could become one of the, join the league of extraordinary listeners. And just for just $1 a month, or you can upgrade that and become one of our inner circle members, like Tara Widener, Keith Nagel, Stefan Ward. Those are the big time supporters of the program. They help make this run.
They hit the big time, folks. They hit the big time.
Investing are, for your ears, right,
that's
right. there.
That's what's right.
It's really it's an investment. It's an investment.
For their ears mm-hmm. and their mental health. Mm-hmm. And you can't, there's the return.
The dividends for this show just keep giving with every episode.
Laughter is your dividend. Sometimes the episodes have a little more dividends than other. We'll be honest, but it's still there. But you know what? If you are a Patreon member, another perk is you're going to get a preview. You'll be one of the first to see the recut version of the 48-hour film project that Samantha and I did this summer, Sip and Style. It's being edited right now.
Ooh.
By a professional editor, not by Silas. The extended edition that's going to be released out there for everyone to see. Patreon members will see it first, and then it'll go to the general public. And you did that. And today's episode is brought to you by our cousin podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. If you are interested in buying a home, whether you're in Seattle, Washington, or anywhere in the United States, you can listen to this podcast and get step-by-step instructions on how to buy a home. It's ranked number 22 on Apple Podcasts.
So cool.
So, yeah, this one isn't, but that one is. I mean, so you can... I don't know what to do about that, but
start giving stock advice.
Something, yeah. come here for next week's stock pick. That's what we'll do. And of course, if you're in the Seattle area and you would love to, you want to buy or sell a home, you can email me at silas@blackandahalf.com, and I will set you all up with that and give you. I'll help you buy a house because that's what I do. When I'm not entertaining your ear holes with this show. It's also brought to you by.
Yes, it's also brought to you by Beyond Technique Coaching. So if you're looking for a coach to help you with performance skills to improve your life in work or your personal life, on stage, off stage, interviews, real estate copy. You were talking about that the other mm-hmm. day, Silas.
Yeah.
Audition prep, all of that good stuff, yeah. Relationship stuff too. You can always reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com and check out the sister brother podcast. I don't know which one do you have, cousin podcast?
I said
the other podcast. Yeah. Check out the other cousin podcast, Beyond Technique Coaching with me, of course, Samantha Rund. We had on the Bug Chicks recently, and it was so fascinating hearing about all their adventures in Kenya. And how bugs teach us about life and acting and all of that stuff. So really fun. Really fun to have them on.
Check that one out.
Yeah.
Check out that podcast. But right now, and thanks, Joe, for coming on the show. Check out
my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Check out his go to his Facebook page, probably, right, for Emerald City Orchids.
Sure. Instagram. We're about to start a TikTok. I'm gonna plunge. Ooh. I'm taking a plunge.
TikTok.
I'm gonna start TikToking orchids.
Oh my god! Actually, I think that's a really good idea. I think you'll do. Really
I'm gonna
well
try
with
to
that.
Do like little 10-second, lessons. Little things.
No.
Like, hey, look at this orchid. Do a funny dance.
And make it sing. You gotta have it sing with a.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's raining rain. Hallelujah! It's raining rain.
That could be really funny. I think you should do. Check out Emerald City Orchids online and buy an orchid from Joe and help support his.
Come visit. Market. We're in beautiful downtown South Tacoma.
Yeah, we're even if you in Nebraska, come visit Tacoma. Yes, do that. But right now, go ahead and I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 146, The Million Dollar Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission. stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
Live long and prosper. You know, it's real loosey-goosey. There's no, like, there's no book. It's not like Suzuki Method where you learn to play this song and then you learn to play that song. Like, you do learn, like, you do work on songs. So, like, I have songs that I worked on and, like, you know, part of it was, like, playing the chord with the left hand, the melody with the right, but then also now you want to try and switch up and do the bass line with the left hand and then the chord with the right and sing the melody.
Yeah.
And it's like adding this whole extra thing. And now I'm at a block there, and it's hard because I can't do my lessons now I can't do them even if COVID ends, because he got married for the fifth time, I think. Fifth?
Oh, wow.
He might be on six. I can't remember. And then moved to Canada.
Oh.
So
what?
So I'm not going over there for lessons anymore.
I needed my piano tuned.
Oh no, you didn't.
You said you didn't want to, but cheap.
It was time to get the piano tuned, and you're like, no, I don't want to pay him because it's gonna be.
Well, I didn't have money. That was a lot of money. And then when I got money, I was gonna. As soon as I got the money in, I was gonna do it, and I got the money. And then COVID hit, and I'm like, well, okay, I guess we can't do. Be a while, and I still don't even know if it's. I mean, now, you know, it's a weird time with COVID because, like, there's stuff that we probably shouldn't do still, but people are like, look, I gotta make some money. We'll just take the chance here and pretend.
We're not like, really talking. What things
are we talking about here?
I'm saying things like piano tuning. I'm betting there's people tuning pianos, even though they probably shouldn't be in someone else. I mean, I have like all the service people that come in to do like furnaces and all that, just maintenance checks. They're inside. They shouldn't be. We shouldn't be.
Well,
doing
I mean,
that.
A furnace check. I mean, you got to make sure. Like some of that
carbon monoxide is a serious thing.
You need
that
to be
kills
fixed.
A bunch of people every year.
I just threw something out there. I'm saying other thing. Like there's
okay,
other services.
Okay. Well, we
you
won't
never
jump
throw
right
anything
on
away.
I'm gonna go get headshots in a couple of weeks. I shouldn't do it.
I saw that, Silas.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
I need them for real estate. My broker doesn't like my headshot, and so I need new one. Plus.
Actually, yeah, I'm happy that you're getting new ones for. You know, I told you that your headshot doesn't do you justice. Like it really doesn't. So I'm happy for you to get new ones.
Like I think my headshot's great. That's
not you're
even the one
a
I'm
bad
to
judge of
out.
Your headshot.
Why?
Your headshot doesn't show your personality effectively. Like
should
I know
it?
You.
What am I supposed to be? Hey, look at me. Like I
you
hate those.
No,
mugs.
But you know what I mean. It's hard to see. It's hard to see yourself objectively. Like in that fashion, and I just
That's
feel
like
strongly.
The only headshot I've ever liked.
Well, we're gonna have you're gonna have
which one is this?
Like
is this
now.
The 206 one? Which headshot's
the
one
blue
you like?
One, the blue shirt,
the one that he has on our podcast
and other things all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, no, were you this one? Where you got the handout?
No. It's I have a blue shirt on. It's me looking.
Here, let me find it.
I like it.
You don't know, but the thing is, it's you don't look bad.
I know
it.
That's all that matters. If
no,
I look
it's
good,
not.
It's okay. That's all it takes. I just need to look good.
That's what you know. It's
what
listen.
Else? What else do I need?
It's your.
Well,
it's
a headshot.
One, it's
so.
Your. It's your job. But I'm saying, to me, not knowing you, man, I hope I don't sound harsh, but I am trying to make it big enough for people to see. And obviously, if you're seeing the art for the show, you'll see him on it. But for you, Joe, this one here. Wait.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm
like you don't look bad, but you don't look like somebody
shot.
I'd buy a house from. No offense, you don't look like it. Doesn't have your like
it has zero personality.
From.
It's just you know it's
That's
too
me.
Straight.
Zero.
It's
personality.
Not though. Look at your face when you say anything to me. I don't think I've ever seen this expression on your face, except for maybe when you were like really tired during the 48.
It looks like a mugshot. It looks like a mugshot.
Because I'm black?
I was going to say, no. I don't know that it looks like a mugshot here.
Look, it's got this straight on. It's got this straight on, maybe not a mugshot, driver's license photo. Okay. It looks smile. Like a very bureaucratic institutional
You're
photo.
You're all smiling with your eyes.
You know what's funny? People, the one my broker likes, she goes like, she likes the headshot where I'm like, I'm all serious and I got the suit on. It's the back of my newsletter. And I'm like, I'm way more serious there. I almost look angry, like I'm going to beat someone up for buying a house. Like, I just, like, whatever. Well, I need new headshots anyway, because it was, you know, that was like 40 pounds ago.
You need
anyway.
One where you're like excited to be giving them the keys to the house.
Here's your house. Here's your house.
Said I'm excited, not like needing to go be committed.
Okay. So yeah, I'm gonna get headshots. I think I got the guy to do it.
That's exciting.
So yeah. I just don't. You know, that is a money thing too.
Are you gonna wear a mask in the photos? Because that would be the safe thing to do.
That would be the best. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they have the rules. Like, gotta wear a mask the whole time until you take the picture.
Until you take the mask off. Right. Huh? Until that part.
Yeah. Right.
Gotta take the picture. Yeah.
The whole time, they're probably going to have like good airflow and all that.
Do you want airflowing? I don't know if you want airflowing.
No, I mean, like, maybe they'll have like you know, a window open, or they'll have like a
air purifier or something. They should have a fan to blow my hair.
Yeah, exactly. I'll lend you one of those wigs I was going to use for the sketch characters.
You should just make sure when you're taking those pictures that you don't breathe.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. I'll look like a Smurf because I turned blue.
Yeah, it's like you definitely need to breathe.
This is coming out probably day after, but like maybe the day of inauguration. What does it feel like right now? We are T-minus. I can't count. 8, 20. We're less than 24 hours away. From
it's like 12 hours plus a couple hours, right? Like 16 hours away.
We're like 13 hours away.
It's 9 a.m. our time.
Yeah, 9 a.m. our time.
That's exciting.
We're 13 hours away. So hopefully at this point, the military.
9 a.m. They're doing it at 6 a.m.
Well, no, they're ahead.
I guess Biden is very old. He probably gets up early. Shush.
He's going to go to IHOP first and then over to
East Coast time.
East Coast time is 12, so it's 9 here.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
It's the other way. So this podcast won't be uploaded, I guess, if there is a nuclear disaster by the time Biden's.
What are you talking about? The show must go on.
Do you feel, do you have any jubilation inside? Like, have you chuckled at all thinking like he's going to be gone? Has that happened at all yet?
You know, what's cracking me up is that, yes, that is making, I am very happy that he's going to be gone, but also like, he said he wants to build like some statue in the backyard of the White House or the statue garden. And then they just like came out and were like, no, that's not happening. That was like the last thing they just shut him down. The last thing he said, like, we're going to do this. And they're like, no, you're not. Just go home. Right. And then now that he's leaving, okay, he's not going to the inauguration, but then there's all these things that presidents do, like in Memorial Day when they all lay the wreath and then, you know, there's going to be so many chances to snub him again. And again and again and again.
Wait, old presidents come back for that kind of stuff? Are you saying?
Yeah, whenever sometimes there's a thing that happens, or Memorial Day holiday.
No, he'll never be invited.
Commencement.
Yeah, if he gets impeached the second time and they're like, well, no,
he is impeached.
You know what I mean? Like they really go.
Him. Yeah.
They convict him and they go at him and they take away all the stuff. They take away his Secret Service and his pension, and they take away his ability to run again, and they take away his presidential library. And, you know, like when you win the Olympics and then they like take away the medal later because you like did the steroids.
4 years ago, did drugs.
You're going to like just take away the presidency, right? You're going to be like, nope, you're not ex-president anymore.
I just keep thinking of that song from Hamilton, the You're never gonna be president now. I just keep popping through my head, even though he was president, but not again. So
yay, Hamilton. I love the song. I do not feel the same sort of sense of jubilation that you guys do. No, like I will say, on when election day happened, I did feel this like immense relief and probably tears of joy, I'm sure, sighs of happiness. I mean, come on, let's be real, to find out that Biden is elected, right? Yeah. But the thing is, I feel like I'm going to say my prayers for Biden and Kamala's safety, like the same like when President Obama was going in. I feared for his, like I would sometimes just pray for him for his safety because it like freaks me out. Like that was one
that scariest moment.
That was one thing that was like nice about Trump for me is I never had to pray for his safety. I did pray for his soul sometimes. I mean, seriously, I would like ask for him to get compassion or empathy, you know, which obviously I have no control over, but hey, I was trying. But I feel concerned.
I mean, I get it, but I think we underestimate because of assassinations, right? We underestimate the amount of Secret Service they have on these things.
Right.
The amount of clearage that they got. Do you know I was watching today.
They have the National Guard there. I mean, it's like
exactly
National
Guard. And they were vetting people and stuff.
Troops
too,
on the ground.
There is more military in Washington, D.C. than there are combined of Afghanistan, Iraq, another I country, all of them. They like they're Kuwait. Like there's more troops now blocking that area than they've ever had. Like nothing's going down.
I sure hope not, but I'm just saying I'm still concerned. I'm not,
and I don't think Joe's not gonna walk down Memorial. No way. Unless they give him a Segway, he's not gonna drive like walk like Obama did.
But the other thing too, though, about like Trump, like
he wounded his foot anyway, right? Gone,
is like Trump is out of the White House, but he's not in jail yet, and he has like he could still do a lot of damage. Not the same amount that he could while he was president, but I don't feel like this big sigh of relief, like Voldemort's been vanquished and his Horcruxes are gone. Like there's plenty of his Horcruxes around. Okay.
Yeah, like, but he is an old guy himself who eats Big Macs.
Right. But like, you know,
he's
but
not going to be around long.
But what I'm saying is it's like, it's not, it's the people he has empowered to increase their potential for violence and this and that and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, he's got like, a whole whack of new contingent.
Right. Like that's not all gone just because Biden's in tomorrow.
No. Those like, people are around. It's not like you throw them ring in the volcano.
Exactly.
And
then
they all just disappear.
Where's Sam?
Right.
And then, but this, they're like, you throw the ring in there and then they're all like, where's the ring? And they're still hungry.
Right. So, you know, not to be a downer, but I'm just saying I have like mixed feelings about it. I do have many reasons for hope, but
the wackadoo factor is huge. That is something that's very scary. And what's really scary about it is they were talking about like, you know, assaults on all 50 state capitals. So, you know, not only like are they guarding like the national capital, but they have to guard all the capitals in all the states because of this wackadoo factor. You know, and this guy, this homeboy just blew up the AT&T building, which was just like the way they blew up the Oklahoma City thing.
Did the homeboy do it? You said the homeboy did it. I'm just teasing because he said a homeboy blew up the
I don't remember really the guy's name, but this guy
was a white dude. If it was a white dude. Blew up a building.
Oh, yeah. No, black I didn't think he was. Dude. I didn't think he was black. I just thought it was funny. Homeboy. That was all.
Oh, sorry. I don't mean to be awkward.
No,
I didn't know his name. I don't know the guy's name, and I don't, you know, I don't want to promote him.
No, it's totally
either,
good. I just thought it was funny.
But yeah, the guy, the crazy guy from Alabama, I think he was, and he thought that 5G was going to take over the planet or something.
Oh.
And he blew up
the
big AT&T building in Nashville.
Yeah.
I think it was in Nashville?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
That guy, you know, like, that was pretty scary. Just drops in with the Winnebago. And takes out, you know, a whole building. And that's the same thing they did in Oklahoma City with that building. They just came in with a truck, you know, full of all the fertilizer and the other stuff, the chemicals they used, you know.
You know what's crazy? There's so much shit going on that thing barely even registered to me that it happened. And I
that
like
was scary. That they blew up a bomb in the middle of downtown Nashville.
I was like, I read that. I was like, oh, that's bad. Okay. And I went well, I mean, look, we're 400,000 over 400,000 dead and it of COVID has not even made the news. They're not even talking about it.
Oh, they.
Well, this guy. These are the crazies that Trump is excited.
These news you're watching.
Sorry, what?
No, I was like, oh, I heard 400,000 today, but I think it depends what news you're watching. You're right. Like, yeah.
We're just bringing up. There's other things to talk about. They're like, well,
there's so many.
Yeah.
There's people that are like starving and living by the freeway in tents. And then you got like, you know, this disease going around. And then there's like rampant, like, you know, army of racists like running across the country with their guns, blowing buildings up with their truck bombs.
I've got an ingrown hair.
Huh?
I got an ingrown hair on my shoulder. That's bad.
All the problems.
All the problems.
Get that out pretty easily.
Yeah,
you need to get some like tweezers or something.
Yeah, I got need some new tweezers.
Oh,
sometimes
the ingrown hair broke the last ones.
Sometimes I don't.
It's pretty powerful stuff.
Don't pull right. You don't got the right ones.
Mm.
So we got some bad tweezers the last time. Let me tell you, it's
horrible. That's uncomfortable.
It's a rough life.
I think tweezers are a hard thing to calibrate at the factory. It's not an easy thing to make with a consistency. every single tweezer has got the right amount of tweeze.
Yeah. Mm. What kind of gauge tweezer do you got there?
I use a 0.32 millimeter gauge tweezer.
Stainless steel. I find it's
ideal for my finer hairs.
Do you, have during the last 4 years, have you considered getting a gun? Anyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Getting what?
A gun.
A gun?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a gun before and it got stolen.
Oh, sorry about that.
My grandma bought this gun. Okay. My grandfather had a gun from World War II and then he died. And then my grandma had this handgun and it was like this giant, like.
What country was it from?
America.
Okay.
Her neighbor came over, or I think she volunteered at the sheriff's department. And then one of the sheriff deputies came over and was like, oh yeah, this gun is like, it's too big for you. You should get a smaller gun. So she sold that gun and then she got a little, I think it was a Smith & Wesson 38.
Oh.
And it's smaller, but, you know, something she
could, I was thinking like 357. I was like, whoa.
Not a big 30. Gun.
It's a little baby gun.
I mean, big enough.
Yeah.
You know, if you get shot with that, it's going to hurt.
Doesn't take a
lot.
I'm
sure. Sorry, what?
Said it doesn't take a lot.
Well, not for me. I mean, I don't even like getting hit by the little BB guns. So.
I don't like squirt guns. No. So.
In fact, don't even point your finger at me.
I don't like Nerf guns. There we go. Now I got R3.
I see what country my family, like I know in the past that my family like was in the, like in the war, like my great grandpa, my birth grandpa was in World War
II.
Guess would have been, might have been one. And there was a point that I realized, because I heard like, oh, he's in World War I. Cool. Yeah. Oh, where was he from? Oh, he was from Italy. And then he immigrated over here. And I was like, hey, what side? Because they were in the Axis, like the World War I. If he was in Italy, that's not good. I mean, it wasn't World War II Axis bad, right? But I did learn that. Samantha, did I tell you about my doing my family tree?
I don't remember that.
You might
have, but
we were. I started doing my family, going back on my grandma's side, my great grandma, the white half of my family.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going back to her because I knew my dad's part went to Italy, from Italy, but I didn't know hers, and I just kept doing the like suggested. They're like, oh, we think this is the person. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I went all the way back to It was like 1612 in Virginia.
Oh, wait. Yeah. You did tell me.
Yeah. And I'm reading them like, oh, that's cool. Virginia. And the, oh, no. No. That's not a good time to live in Virginia. And then I'm like, did one half of my family own the other half? Like, I'm nervous about that still.
Have you traced yours back? You know, actually, it's funny because I never really cared to. I just wasn't curious yeah. enough. And also, I didn't want to give my information out because you know how I am. But
That's a real danger.
I know.
Your DNA, and don't they have a thing where there's some kind of claim to your DNA or some kind of use to it or the information for
if
it with
you
these
give it
with
to
these
them?
No one's
yeah,
gonna try
these geno-
no one's gonna try
these
to
genealogical things.
No one's gonna try to clone it? This, I'll tell you that.
It's not about cloning, but you know, there's all that Henrietta Lack, you know, use of your DNA without your consent type stuff.
If you give it to them, is that what you're saying? So I had a right.
You got to read the fine print, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
read it carefully.
But to tell what? What would they do with it? I know they can do things like it could mess with your insurance.
You're the one who
watches
all the sci-fi stuff.
I know. I'm not pretty enough to be cloned, so I'm not worried.
You don't
about
know
that.
That.
I'm not smart enough to be cloned from a brain. There's so many. Nobody wants this.
That's what I'm saying. That's rude
well. There's.
To
it's
say
not about cloning. It's about using your tissue to, you know, do research and things on without necessarily having your consent.
What wouldn't I be okay with?
Don't ask those open-ended questions, man.
What wouldn't I be okay with? Do some fetal tissue research. I don't care.
No. Just
research everything.
So, okay.
I want someone to name one thing that I would not be okay with them research.
What are you, Louis C.K. right now?
What?
Don't you remember him talking about how he'd give his body to science to like the perverts or the freaks or whatever you're saying? They could do anything to him. Don't you remember that bit that he had?
My DNA from my spit. Like, I don't know what they could test on that I'd be not okay with.
Once they have your DNA, man, they've got you, you know, they're tracing you through the chemtrails.
I'm all...
They could clone you and make you the spokesperson for Flat Earth.
You know, okay, this is real. They could clone you. And then inside of that clone, they could put one of these new Google brain implants they're working on. Oh. And then they could have you assassinate the whoever, you know, and then just it'd be just like Naked Gun 2, I think that was the plot line. No, was that the first one? That was the first one.
Would I be sentient though?
It would be
forever?
A clone. It wouldn't even be you. You'd be at home, like doing your thing, and then there'd be like a video of you out there, but it wouldn't be you. It'd be this clone you with like a robot brain does these things that you get blamed for, and that's how they bring you down.
Or when we have to colonize other planets, they send my DNA out there and I'm one of the people they spawn on another planet and then I get to live longer.
Oh.
Hmm? How about that?
On another planet. How fun. So
are you still wrong about movies on the other planet?
On another Earth?
Yeah. So I did hear, though, an interesting piece of information, though. Like, I heard... Because I guess my oldest sister was kind of looking into some of this stuff and she told my mom and then I was talking to my mom about, I don't know. Anyway, long story short. And I was like, well, I want to look into it because I wonder if like, because obviously I know there's like European side and I know some of what that is. But I was like, I wonder if there's something there for like, you know, Ireland or Scotland or something Celtic. Because like, I feel like I've always really loved Celtic music and bagpipes and stuff like that. So I was like, maybe there's like some DNA reason why I like love that stuff. And my mom was like, actually, your sister found, shut up. She found a little bit. And I'm like, I kind of wanted that. Then I was curious to kind of like look it up and see.
Did you know you and your sister? Are you and sister same parents?
Yeah. It's just like, I didn't talk to her to get like all of the information about,
but do you know you and your sister can have different results? Like she can be 5% Irish and you could not be.
Oh, well, I suppose when everything's all mixed up, it could be.
Yeah. Like a bit. I find that trippy. I thought like, I imagined it'd all be the same, but apparently some of the genes that are from some of them.
I guess it doesn't really break down that way, like, you know, you right? Because you wouldn't be like half mom. Because there's some people that just look exactly like one parent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that that parent's like DNA just came in and just like stiff arm the other parent's so DNA. Like, and you're like, no, we are going to be in this one. You know?
That's a good point.
So you can like, yeah. So
I'm
like,
quite curious.
Between the two of you, you could find out better odds of finding out your complete
story. I can't believe you said I have bad taste. Have you seriously not ever listened to any Celtic music? Yeah, haven't you ever heard them sounding beautiful?
No, bagpipes.
Oh, you.
We had a bagpipe player at my mother's funeral.
I'm sorry.
And it was beautiful.
Oh,
yeah.
Not a dry eye in the house.
Off of that right
oh,
there.
My God.
Oh, boy. I did not know how to respond.
Because somebody died, not because of the.
Jeez.
They're probably crying because you were playing bagpipe music.
It is enough to inspire tears.
Oh, man.
It's off. No, it's awful. Like, I mean, occasionally, you know, in a movie, I don't mind Celtic music that's not bagpipe. But, like, if someone, like, put in a CD, like my ex-wife, it's one of the reasons I'm happy I'm divorced, right? Because she used to listen to shitty music, like Celtic music, and just play it, like, for fun.
Oh, my God.
And now,
you know what's real fun is dancing to bagpipe music.
So, yeah. Doing the Roger Rabbit to it?
Yeah, I guess. What can you do to bagpipe music? Interpretive dance. You could do interpretive dance.
I just remember this one time I was visiting my other sister. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, like, she had on this, like, just two. But she had on this, like...
There's one and then the other
one. She had on, like, actually cool music at the time, right? Like, I don't know, some popular... whatever, but I just wasn't in the mood for it. I was like, come on, turn it down, it's giving me a headache. And then she's like, what do you want to play? So I like started blasting this Celtic music as I was cleaning up the house, and she's like, turn that off, you're giving me a headache, you're driving me nuts. I'm like, but it's so awful. Fun to clean to
what?
Oh yeah,
like,
but there's all sorts of kinds. It's not like I know all of it. I'm just saying some of it's like, you ever listen to like, so,
like, let's put on some flute
relaxing
music.
Yeah, like relaxing.
You know, the weirdest relaxing thing is this humpback whale record I have. I'm not joking. I actually have a humpback whale record. And sometimes, like if I'm in a weird mood, I will put this thing on. It's on vinyl. It's an actual record.
Oh, wow.
What
somebody went through the trouble to press this into a vinyl record.
I used to... I spent a summer that I worked at a retail store part-time in Glacier National Park or near it. Mm. And one of the guys, the owner had us always playing the CDs that we sold. And it was always this Native American music done by the guy, some...
Did you not like, you don't like the Native American music either?
So... You know, this wasn't even like real Native music. It was like, he was like definitely whiting it up for like tourist. It was like tourist Native music, I think. Oh man, that was some rough hours in there sometimes. Like, oh God, I can't take, can I work in the gas station section?
Well,
please?
It is pretty terrible if you can't change the music selection. Oh,
it's the worst.
Like,
I worked at Johnny Rockets in the Pacific Place. And it has that jukebox with 100 songs in it that are all a minute and a half long max. So we would listen to the same 100 minute long songs.
Was it like 50s music? Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah. It's all this 50s bubblegum doo-wop stuff, which I like. I like that stuff. But, you know, I like also more than, you know, 50 of them.
Has anybody ever done, did anyone ever do the whole... Remember that the Mike Mullaney joke, the Silver Spoon Diner, where they play "What's That Pussycat"?
Oh,
like
I
12
I
times they put it
that.
All on to repeat.
Oh, yeah, it's like a put something on repeat. Yeah, we used to have kids do that, put it on repeat. But the thing is like that joke, you know, costs a lot of money because again, the songs are all like, you know, it's all these old like 40-second songs. These songs are just like commercial jingle length.
But anybody, if you have not heard that Mike Mullaney joke, you need to go and look it up on Spotify, the Silver Spoon Diner. It is one of my favorite story jokes of all time. It's an absolutely wonderful, had my wife in tears listening to it. Are you listening to it now? Samantha?
No, I'm trying to find that bagpipe music for you.
No, we don't have copyright clearance. Can't play that.
Man, even if it's just like 2 seconds.
Sometimes you need to enforce the rules, and that's
actually a good thing to know.
You know,
we should. You know what we should do instead? We should do a bagpipe sing along. I'll start.
Listen, I'm not saying all bagpipes all the time. I'm just like, I need to listen to that album again.
I can't believe you didn't get into that with me. We could have really had a sing along.
That was a good bagpipe impression, Joe.
It was.
You may have found your new calling. After COVID, bagpipe impersonation.
I think that's how I'm going to find my next wife. I'm going to go outside and do that every morning.
Your mating call.
And
anyone who will answer that, you should marry.
I might dance around my yard and wave my arms a little bit, and hopefully she'll come to my nest.
Thank God.
You might want to wear a more brightly colored getup.
Yeah, I'm going to go bright. Yeah, I'm going to put on some, you know. Maybe I'll do like Elvis and get some like fringe off the sleeves and rainbow, bright rainbow colors.
Well, somebody will definitely show up.
Somebody will show up.
Samantha. Are you investing in the stock market currently?
Well, that would be great, but no, I do not invest at this time.
Does it sound scary to you? The idea of playing the stock market, as they say sometimes.
No.
Okay.
It doesn't sound scary.
Do you have a 401k? Do you get a 401k?
Yes.
So you are in the stock market.
Well,
a lot of people don't think of it. I've been making a point about this. A lot of people think that. Most people answer, they think the stock market's scary. But they also think that they're fine. I don't do stock market. I have a 401k. And that's fine. Mm-hmm. Which is just the stock market. It's in there.
Interesting.
But it's the perspective that people have of it. And I think we've been trained to think one is okay and one is dangerous.
Well, yeah, no, that's a good point. Because one is like, you sign up for your job and you get it. And the other one, like, you take your money and you put into it. And that other one, to me, seems more like a gamble. It doesn't seem scary, but it seems like I don't know enough information at this point in my life to be playing it effectively.
I could learn. You do the exact same thing. You can do the exact same thing as you do on your 401k. You had to pick, this is the kind of stocks I want to be
in.
I didn't have to pick. You did. They have to let you though. So I think you did. Anyway, but here's a tip, financial tip for everybody. I'm not a financial advisor, but I'm glad you do real estate. If your company matches.
Oh, you got to take the match.
Yeah, do the match because if you want to
buy. That's free money.
Yeah, if you want to buy a home in particular, if they match, say, 3% or 5%, I've heard even more, say they match 5% of your salary, you're allowed to pull that money out later up to $10,000. I'm not a financial advisor for a down payment on a home. So you essentially can get you can almost get your work to pay for your down payment on a home. Like it's a great tool to use. Not a financial advisor.
That's a weird little loophole. I didn't know about that. Yeah. Consult your CPA.
Penalty free. You do need to pay taxes on it, but it's penalty free.
Wow.
Yeah.
They do that because, you know, it's weird. Like I think more people would save if it was like easier to do so.
Yeah.
You know, it's not easy to save money. It's functionally not easy. I'm not talking about like, it's so hard and I don't have any money and I can't save anything. It's just like, it's not actually like easy to set up an account somewhere and then like put your money in it. And,
I think it is easy.
It's much easier now. One of the miracles about these, you know, phone apps. It really easy.
If you're not going to be hand to mouth, much easier.
It used to be like, I remember years ago, I walked into this Edward Jones or something like that, one of those, and said, hey, how much do I need to start putting into investing here? And they told me $5,000. And I'm like, okay, we'll see you later. And I left. So I was like, I'm not going to put, I just wanted to put like $100 in or something like that. And just to get started.
It's hard to, you got to get started. You have to, everyone has to start somewhere.
But nobody, I don't think many now have a minimum like that unless it's a hoity-toity, because places like Robinhood and Webull and different ones have started up where they have no commissions, no minimums, and it's attacking those people. Now, it is you investing yourself. Sure, someone who manages it and does that for a living probably, hopefully, does a good job, and that's why you would invest, have them do it. But so the reason we segued into this is Joe got me back into the stocks because
Corleone and Godfather 3.
Four years ago, I had started playing Robinhood while I was delivery driving. So it was actually almost 5 years ago, doing delivery driving for Amazon, and I was bored. And someone there was a date, like they kind of day swing traded after a few days. So they got me interested in learning about it, and I learned I was actually pretty good at it. I understood the whole swing trading aspect, which is when you buy a stock low on a Monday, and then the next week when it's higher, you sell it and take a little profit. That's what I did. And I was pretty good. I think I made like 20% on it while I was there doing it. But then I needed the money. I pulled a bunch out, left $100, been sitting there for 4 years. I go back and look at it, and I was like, oh, wow, I didn't know it went up and down like this. And now, oh, I collected some dividends while I was there. And so, like, oh, cool. But Joe got me like this idea. It all started because he's like, dude, all these like Carnival Cruise Line, they're all low. You buy them now, they're going to be up high. It's going to be easy money. And I'm like, I love easy money. Sure. Let me check this out. Let me see what. So I started depositing. And then I was like, oh, well, what about this stock? This stock? Oh, so I started depositing a little bit more. And then Joe had created his own challenge, his own stock market challenge.
I made up a challenge,
that he has stuck to. And now I've opened up a new account on a different system so I can try to do it, because I think it's a fun, exciting challenge, and it's a way to learn about the stock market and potentially make
it's like
big.
Winning the lotto. You could actually win the lotto, but you earn your winning.
You can earn
your own lotto winning,
right? So Joe, tell us what you are doing.
All right, so I opened up a Robinhood because hold on a second. I'm gonna yell at my dog. He's barking too.
Okay. The beauty of Zoom.
I think I thought I was gonna be quiet in there.
Yeah. so I opened up a Robinhood because it's like, it's COVID and I'm bored and I need a reason to stare at my phone all day.
So it's an app and that you can, it's an app and a brokerage that you
it's
can
an app, right? You know, you
easily.
Can trade stocks on it. You do it all through your phone and it's
no commission,
like,
yeah.
Super user friendly, right? It's like, it's easy to understand when you look at it. And, I put in $100 and I'm like, I want to put in $100 and that's it. Right. Cause I thought, like, how much do I pay for like a really awesome video game? Like, I'll pay like $50 or like $70 for a video game. Like, this is like a video game. I'm doing it on my phone. Right. But it's real money and I'm just going to play with the real money. And then if I lose it all, cause I'm a dumb dumb, then, I just lost $100 and like, yeah, that was stupid. Don't do that again. Right. But the challenge is I'm going to try and take this $100 and turn it into $1 million without adding any other money. Just using the original 100 and trading it up, buy something, sell it for more, buy something, doing that. And I started November 6th, and today I'm at $216.
Nice.
So
that's, I'm happy with that.
So we're 2 months in.
Two months and change.
That wasn't your
two and
original,
a half months.
But it wasn't your original plan in it. So it didn't like, right? The go to a million wasn't the original plan.
I just was going to put in 100 and then not put any more in and see what happened. But then I was like, I should make a goal.
Yeah.
I should. And why not make it something just crazy? Because $1 million, like when I was a kid, they were always like, what would you do if you had $1 million? And like, obviously, an island with a underwater entrance that you can only get to like the inside of it with like a submarine and maybe a volcano layer.
Okay. And let's be clear. When you say something like, hey, I put $100 in and now a 216, I think for a lot of people that doesn't sound, they're like, oh, well, okay. Yeah, you have 200 now. But you got to think about this. It takes the average stock market return, like of playing stocks well, is like 10% in a year.
Like in a year.
If you do an index fund, you're probably looking at 8%. So he's over double now in just 2 months.
But this is doing some very, like, you know, dodgy.
Not dodgy in a bad way.
Well, as far as risk is concerned, risky.
He's
very risky.
He drops a stock in a second. He doesn't like it and buys another one. Like, he stays within the rules.
Smell funky.
Stays within the rules of Robinhood because you can't like day trade. So you can't do three in a where you buy one.
I kind
of
like that they give you that too because it provides structure because it makes it so that you like, even if you're like a crazy. You know, because it's weird. Investing is when you, for me, my opinion is that investing is when you like put some money into something and then you just leave it there. That's an investment, right?
Yeah.
Like you invest in a house, right? Like even if it's like a classic car, which is not really an investment, but you buy the car, you own the car for like a decade, and then you sell the car later and you get all that money back out. Like you put your money into something and you leave it there.
Yeah.
But what I'm doing is gambling. When you're trading, because like, I believe in investing. I think investing is very smart. I believe everybody should invest. But Investing for me is like when you say like, you know, like you can invest in these funds that we're talking, some of these things we're talking about, and you just leave your money there for like, you know, 10 years and it gets bigger or it creates a dividend or whatever, but you get, you know, money back. And then, you know, but what I'm doing is buy something and then like own it for like an hour and then sell it and then like –
But you can only do that. Else. You can only do that 3 times in 5 days. So you have to pick and choose.
I would do that all day long if they didn't have that limitation. I would do that all day if they didn't have that limitation. I'd be like just like because it's like gambling, you know, and that addiction that you get from gambling, you can definitely get that same thing because you're like just moving the money around like you're placing bets on numbers and there's a little marble going around a thing and then boom, yay, I got money, right? But what's interesting about stocks is like when you're gambling, you're betting on cards and marbles and dice and these all these other things, right? But with stocks, there's actually like it's gambling, yes, when you're doing the, like the day trading things, but you're also betting on like you're betting on a real thing, right? It's like horse racing. Yeah. Like you're not just betting on a card. You're betting on a horse. And if a horse has like the flu or didn't like its breakfast or, you know, maybe the horse like, you know, took a fancy to the horse in the next stall and just can't stop thinking about that horse long enough to like, you know, run real fast for a minute. So, you know, when the horse is just like, I'm not doing it today. Sorry.
But I think it's interesting that I know there's some, you can have blackjack strategy. Certain types of things like that.
Well, that's math, right? Because you got what the cards are, and that's the math. And then there's math with this too, but it's
like,
different.
There's people that do like these. They do graphs, and they can figure out things mathematically the way things work, and they can do really well with that. But there's also like Joe has this good eye for spotting things in the news that are going to create an uptick or a downtick, and to go like, okay, this is, you know, so like for me, I don't see it as much as gambling, like because it's you can be educated and you can learn stuff and you kind of have.
Well, you're buying something real because it's a real company, right? It's a real company that makes a real thing.
But there are there is a thing called options, which is totally gambling, where you just say, "Oh, I think this stock's going to go down by this date, so I'll bet $50 that it's going to go down by this date." That's totally gambling, and I won't pretend that is not. But like, so Joe looked up the news and he got like, he didn't get me to do it. I decided to do it, but he told me, it's like, hey, there's this one stock. It's going to, Biden said that he is going to executive order, close the Keystone pipeline. Are you familiar with that, Samantha? The was it Keystone?
Keystone XL.
Okay, so Keystone Pipeline's going right through Native American lands, and if it spilled, it'd be disastrous. And Obama had executive ordered it to stop. Trump reversed that. Biden has said he's going to reverse it. Now, this is owned by one other, by a company that owns this. And when that gets, then when that executive order happens, we're going to see the, if the confidence in that company is shattered, because they have millions invested in this.
Billions, $8 billion. $8 billion. They've already spent.
I'm gambling $60 that stock is going to tank by 10%. And I can, so I can get money on it. That is gambling. But I love it because I fucking want that stock to tank because I hate the company.
Those guys, yeah, they're terrible. So they need to go out of business.
Wait, so do you have to, is it like a Price is Right thing where it has to be 10% or
lower? Lower.
10% or lower.
Yeah.
It so is that, a Price is Right thing.
That is a total, yeah, it's a total Price is Right thing. So I'll be, I get to, but I get to,
but there's no, there's no matching luggage set. There's no matching, and the jet skis aren't there either.
But it's a good way to make it. You can also make quite a bit on this. I've done one other option where I did well because I knew the stock was really low. And I was like, this is going to go higher. Are you kidding me? I'm low. So I put it, I was scared on this one because I was like,
how much did you put in?
$90. And I was terrified because as soon as I put it on, it started lowering and I had said it would go higher. And so I'm freaking out because I'm watching the money that I bet just dwindle, or like how much I had. And then it shot up and I sold it quicker than I should have because I was just too nervous doing it. Just for some reason, the number,
how much
90,
did you make?
I made $30 extra on it. So I made 33%, which is an excellent return. So don't get greedy. That's what one of the people I follow now. But that's the risky stuff.
Yeah.
But unrisky stuff, I've made some good. I've made a little change on a Cinemark, because once we had bet on AMC and they just nosedived. We thought AMC was, theaters was going to come back, you know, which they should.
It's supposed to come back when people start seeing movies again.
Yeah, but they were they made some horrible business decisions and stuff, and they were just tanking. And we pull out of that, but someone else on Facebook said, try Cinemark. And so I did, because they're cash heavy, and so they've been going up. So I've made good money on them if I sold today. Just a little bit. I'm not like, I don't think I had 12 shares in there. So like I've made like $40 on them. But so now I've joined his channel. I have my own account that I was like, you know what? I need to start investing anyway. So I've built up.
You're going to make $1 million after that $100.
Yeah. So
what's going to happen?
I see the name.
So I started doing one challenge from a different guy who said, it's called the 0 to 100K challenge. It's by this name guy named Chris Sane. And he does. So I'm trying to follow his thing to see. I can't do 100K because I can't put in as much as he suggests to start, because it's not really zero. You kind of have to have a little money to get the first amount going. But
I really like what he's doing, though, because he's encouraging people to like set money aside specifically for saving and investing. And then he's showing people how to do it. And he's also giving them like a goal. He gives them a target. You know, go from zero to having a portfolio worth $100,000. And once somebody knows how to do that once, they can do it again and again and again. And it's really, you know, it's empowering. I think it puts a lot of...
Yeah, it shows what you can do.
You follow him on Instagram or Facebook or something? What's his name?
It's Chris Sane, S-A-I-N. He's got a YouTube channel. But I will say on everything in that portfolio that I've started building of stocks, it's all his are the one, except for Cinemark. That was my own pick. But he definitely outperforms anything that I've chosen on my own. So we'll see in the next few months if it's really panning out. But now I started a separate account with a different company because you can't do more than one. So I can match Joe's thing. So today was day one for me, starting from 100. So I have to try to catch up to him. I'm not going to be as wild
You made that spreadsheet. So we got that spreadsheet, which will sort of just keep us, you know, you just move it like a month and then it lines up.
Yeah. But hopefully, my plan is to catch up with him and lap him. Is my goal. But
oh yeah,
I'll see. But I'm not as wild as he is with his money. He's wild, like with the dropping stocks.
I don't know.
I can't do that.
Silas is heavily invested in Tiger Viagra right now. He saw this Tiger Viagra product and he was just like, I got to invest in this. It looks like it's a winner.
They're on Netflix. You got to.
They need that medicine.
So I'm hoping to do this. And I know people are going to message me because I get it every time. Yes, you have to pay taxes when you sell things. I know.
Oh, I thought they were going to
we'll pay. No, they'll say, you got to pay taxes on that. I'm like, yeah,
I thought they were going to message you for that Tiger Viagra.
They might. And I know, you're going to, it's a tax form. They're going to, you have to fill out a trade every time. Yes, I know. It's downloadable from all these services, goes right into TurboTax. It's fine. Takes two clicks. But I think Joe and I, our attitude on it, I think I can speak for him, is we made this money pressing buttons.
On a phone.
Right.
Now you don't even have to get a computer.
Well, yeah, I'm using the bidet, right? Like, who cares? I don't care. This is extra money. It's money I did not have with before. I don't care that I have to pay taxes. I'm okay with that. And so if I have to sell some of the stock to pay the taxes, fine. It was extra money. I'm okay. You only pay it on profit. So.
Well, it's weird. It's always weird to me because when people say you're going to have to pay taxes on something. And I think to myself, when you make money, you pay taxes, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, not people who make all the money. Those people don't pay taxes, which is infuriating. Yeah. But
well, I think it is because Joe and I are both entrepreneurs and most people aren't. And so they're used to their taxes getting taken out of their paycheck. But
as an entrepreneur, you get all these different taxes too, because you have your business and occupation tax, and you have to worry about the sales tax. And then if you have employees, there's three or four or five different taxes associated with that. So, there's things that as a business person, you end up not doing because I don't have employees anymore because and a large part of it is I don't want to deal with the taxes. And it's not that I don't want to pay the taxes. I just don't want to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
It's really weird, but I don't even want to get into it. It's just the expense, but it's the expense and the paperwork because you have to file it and you have to file it all the time. And
oh yeah, all the time.
I
used to do that. No, oh crap, I got to get this in tomorrow.
Well, yeah, and then you're about to go do something and you're like, oh, my quarterly payroll taxes, our filings are due. It's like, oh, and it's just like filing your income taxes, but it's your payroll taxes. It's the same type of thing. It's these annoying forms. And you have to do this rudimentary math and take the thing from field A and put it into field 17B. And if you have to just claim this and that, and by the time you're done, you're just like, why is this so stupid? Because, is that what you want to do? Just to be able to, I wish they would make it easier to hire people. It's like a lot of this stuff the government should be doing anyway.
Just like our taxes in general, where in other countries, they tell you how much you owe in taxes.
Just send me a bill.
Send me my bill. Here's how much you tell us. We have to tell the government how much we owe, even though they know how much we owe. And if we get it wrong, we go to jail. It's dumb.
So it'd be better if they just told us, and then I would keep all those illicit arms sales for cash, to myself. and then they wouldn't. So, that's all done with Bitcoin anyway.
And also, I write a check. I've written a check to pay my taxes every year for the last 5 years. I always owe taxes. So it doesn't, I don't care if I just have to pay a little more for making money. Anyway.
Well, this has been interesting, though.
Huh?
It's definitely you're getting me to think more about investing now.
Well, I will say because the thing that got me, I do have a financial advisor. He's a real guy. Tim Swanson over at Edward Jones in Northgate, Seattle. He a great guy. He's a nerd and he's a social justice ally. He believes in socially responsible investing. That's his focus.
Which is a lot easier to do now too. Because there's funds that are just labeled,
Yeah.
Clean energy fund or socially responsible. I can't remember. There's an acronym.
Yeah. He brought up in a meeting of ours, like it really explained to me, is that because of inflation that happens every single year, if you're just putting money into a savings account and letting it sit there, it's worth less every single year. It has to grow at a minimum. I forget if it was 2 or 4%, 4% a year, I think, just to keep up with the cost of things. So you have to have some sort of plan to grow your money or you'll never save.
Interesting.
Like, your money has to work.
Don't give the same sort of interest that they used to.
No, never. No, not at all. And there's plenty of things, just little things like ETFs, which are basically kind of like mutual funds that you can.
Well, that's exactly what they are. They're just traded on the exchange. It's an exchange traded fund. That's what it means.
But yes, it's a stock. So it comes with an inherent. There is a technical that it could be worth less than when you put in, but it does pay you money. A little bit more in dividends and stuff. But there are some people that just use these ETFs as their savings account. They just put their money up there and let it grow. Now, most of the advisors will tell you got to have your emergency funds and then your extra money you put up into these kind of funds that are safe and then some for growth so that your money grows and such. But so bottom line is like you have to start. Everyone needs to start saving if they don't want to live paycheck to paycheck until grave, right?
You know, what's interesting is that even like with Robinhood, like even little amounts of money was, this is kind of what's opened my eyes. Cause you know, I think, you know, my privilege is showing a little bit when I say that $100 is a relatively small amount of money in the scope of my general finances. It's not a lot of money. Like if $100 just disappeared, you know, I'm not going to like miss my rent. Right. But to see what I've been able to do with these smaller transactions using just this $100, like I think that, like, because there's no minimums, like even if somebody, you know, is just able to save like $5 a week, right? Just skip a morning commute coffee or whatever it is, you know, if there's a small indulgence that you can put that into, you know, this thing on your phone instead. And you build it up over a relatively short amount of time, it can grow pretty quickly. So, you know, I think the important thing is just for most people is just starting, even if it's at a small level. But I think it is kind of, you know, no matter what, whether you're a part-time minimum wage worker or, you know, like somebody who's making hundreds of thousands a year, like whatever level of, you know, our society's economic structure you're at, you can save and invest now with these tools, and it's relatively easy to do.
Even if it's just $5 a week to start, put it on a recurring account and it comes out of your account, or do it once a month, $5. I mean, it's not a lot, but at least it gets you started somewhere.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but that's what's kind of crazy. Like
it adds up
like quick. Like in a, you know, like you can have things that, you know, at five, after a couple months it becomes six, and then it's like 7.5, and then, you know, and it keeps snowballing, and maybe you throw another five on top, and then like these things can sort of grow on top of themselves, and then pretty soon, you know, you're 60 years old and you're living in a castle on the beach in Mexico and drinking a margarita. Yeah. And you're like, I'm glad I did this back when I was, you know, tearing tickets at the movie theater or whatever. Especially young people, I think, should be, you know, should be looking at this, because the sooner you start, you know, time is like on your side, because you don't need a lot if you've got more time.
Yeah. And I don't have much time, so I got to do a lot right now. Catch up. I'm almost dead. So age wise,
it's all pineapples you're putting on those pizzas. It's causing like a,
dude, that's the only reason I've made it this far.
It gives me energy.
The jalapenos help balance the pH of the pineapple. It's math. Sorry. Anyway, if anyone here is interested in joining Joe and I on the journey, you can message me and I'll put you on our spreadsheet. You can track where we go on this. And if you don't have a Robinhood or Webull account, you can look in the link to the show, and I'll have a link there that you can get a free share of stock for signing up, and so do I. And that's good for me. So
that's, how come you don't
encourage you to do that?
How come you don't ask me to give my link to the thing?
I think I just explained that because it's good for me and cover my help defer costs of this show. And if I make $1 million,
you gotta pay for this whole fancy matrix thing that you're in right now.
Zoom, which is a stock you could have owned before the pandemic, and then you'd have that thing's and like five times as much as it was Zoominaire. Before. A Zoominaire, not a Zominaire.
There's a difference between Zoom and Zom.
Zom is another stock.
Zom is Tiger Viagra, and Zoom is what we're doing right
now. It's not medicine, but it's close. It is a veterinarian service company that is going to make me a lot of money.
It is endorsed by Carol Baskin.
So how can you go wrong?
You can't go wrong.
Carol Baskin approves. She's a stakeholder in this penny stock.
She's got all those tigers. And
so, Samantha, I bought a stock at 24 cents a share. It was what they call penny stock. That was, you know, it is now worth it was $1.10 today.
Ooh. Okay,
I've got 200 shares of this, and so there's potential that there's good potential. It's a legit company. Some of them are trash companies, and people know this from the movie Wolf of Wall Street. But this is actually a legitimate company that is putting out a product, and so. There's a good chance at the end of March this goes up to like $3 a share. I started at 24 cents, so it's a good percent profit. I've already made a lot.
That's like 1,000% if you get all the way up there.
This could end up a $15 stock. I don't know. And then I've made a lot on this stupid.
It could be the next Tesla. It could be the next Tesla.
I've made a lot of bad decisions following Joe on this, usually because he tells me about them and then I do them 10 minutes after he did. Which is too late. So I didn't make any of the money. Or he's like, oh, I just made a bunch of money off this one. I go look and I'm like, okay, $5. I'll buy it. And he's like, no, not now. He's going to buy it earlier. Like, oh, I just thought I'd get in on it. You know? I'm not in my overall stocks doing it with him. I'm up about 20% since I started. So, which is still
good. That's really good.
Which is still better than it would do in a fund on its own.
That's
certainly better than
that's better than if or any kind of savings account or any of that.
Yeah. So
I mean the down there's always a downside risk which you have to be careful of. Like the market could crash, right? But what's weird about crashes is like everyone's like, oh, the market could crash, and everyone when they hear that they think of like. You know,
people jumping 1929, out of there.
And people are like throwing themselves from buildings because they've lost everything, and you know.
Well, what's still stupid about that is unless the companies went out of business completely, you just don't sell and you've lost nothing.
But if they go out of business, you lose all of your money.
If they go, right? That's why you don't have it all in one company. That's why you spread it out.
Yeah.
You manage your risk that
way. There's some companies like Coca-Cola that's like literally survived every single market crash since the markets. But I mean, they were like the first stock.
It'll go down in value. Like, okay, Carnival Cruise Line is not going to go out of business. They're just not. They just have too much money, too much whatever. They're not going to go out of business.
The oceans are rising. There's going to be more areas for them to go to.
What if they get bought out by another company?
Well, then you get money for that. Or you get stocks in that other company. Depends on how
Cash you out or you get stock in the other company. But
it may not be the full value of what you had originally. But
usually when that happens, though, they do take – unless the company that's getting bought is like is in dire straits and it's they're just saving this company. It's about to go – belly up. They usually, if it's like if it's a merger between two companies that are both healthy, they'll pay you a lot. They pay the shareholders a lot to agree to the merger, and they usually do it on both sides. So, like the people from this company are getting a lot, and the people on this company are getting a lot, and that's so that they'll agree to merge these two companies together. And then after the companies merge, if everybody in general is like, "Oh, that was a good idea that these two companies, merged." And they see the reason behind it, if it was a good reason for it. And then the whole thing, then more people invest in that new merged company and then everybody goes up again.
Hmm. Yeah. The way Joe convinced me to start doing this was Carnival Cruise Line was trading at like $60 per share. in March, after everything happened, they went down to something like $12 a share. So a huge drop. But the thing is, eventually they're going to get back to that. Once the ships start going, people are like, oh, there's value in the stock. It's going to go up. So everybody who went out and bought stock from March and even to now, now it's up to $20. It's going to get back up to 60, whether it's in 6 months or in 2 years, it's going to happen. So going and buying five shares right now, if you can miss that money for a while, just let it sit there. And in a couple of years, you're going to have some good money.
6 months, this you know, and then, I'll yeah, have and then in summer. I'll talk
about this afterwards.
Yeah, probably.
I'm like, I want to get in on this.
I've never
bought a stock before.
And I think the big thing is Joe got me to think of it as a video game. And that's a great point. Well, as far as I spend $60 on a video game.
Oh, yeah. No. It's totally not. Yeah, yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like this has lasted me. We've been doing this for this long. Like I'm never into something as long as I've doing this, and it's changed my mindset to now. Like I go out to eat, I bought something, and I'm like, shit, I could have bought another share of that one stock with this. That's gonna make me money. Dang, I could have bought two of these sandwiches if I just waited a couple months. Put the stock in. So like I'm thinking about money a little differently and how I can make it grow instead of just spend. And it's scratching that itch I have to buy things. I haven't bought much, like I haven't bought anything I didn't need.
You know, you're also Silas, as much as I love you, you have a very egregious sin, which is that you are a collector of things.
Yeah.
I cannot abide by baseball stamps, whatever it is that people collect.
Baseball now, this stamps?
You are talking to a guy who has a greenhouse with like 200,000 orchids in it. So I can't be throwing stones too many in the glass house, literally in a glass house. But people who collect things, who are also my customers many times, but I sometimes look at that and I'm just like, oh no, you're spending all this money on your, you know, your rubber ducky collection or whatever it is that you're into. You shouldn't be. This is no. But I know you like, because the people, I understand why. It's like, it's fun to have a collection and you know.
And I was poor.
It's fun to look at it. It's fun to look at the collection and see how it's doing. And like, in this weird way, like, I kind of look at the portfolio on the phone portfolio as like a little Tomodachi pet. Like you gotta like pay attention to it and make it grow, but then it's also like a little. It's like a little Pokemon collection, right? Because I got all my little stocks in there, and I know what all my little companies do, and I know what I paid for them, and how big they are, and when they level up, what they're gonna be. Yeah, there you go.
I got some spaceships right here. But you know what?
So one of your collector items.
I could sell this and buy a stock of Galaxy.
Don't open it.
I could buy a stock of Virgin Galactic for the price of this, and then I would actually own a piece of a spaceship.
A real spaceship.
And that excites me.
You could sell a toy spaceship and own part of a real spaceship.
Yeah, but the toy spaceship he gets to touch.
I better touch my ship. Well,
If he makes enough money, the first ride on the spaceship is on the company, right? If he buys enough of the stock and it goes up.
Man, I have no interest to go to space.
You know what? I'm kind of happy here on Earth. I don't know. Like I would be too scared.
Yeah,
I remember watching the Challenger blow up. You know?
No, like, solid ground is good for me.
I don't even understand skydiving.
No,
from my understanding, they go up there in perfectly functional airplanes and then... and then jump. Like, why?
Nope.
Not why did? Why take the chance? It's thrilling. I understand, but you know, I just assume like get in a pit and fight a bear. Like, why would I want to do that?
Oh no, I rather it's thrilling diving than fight a
would
bear.
Would you rather fight a bear or a bull?
Neither.
That's a they stock. Have regular. That's a they have that's regular bull fights. Too. That's the matadors, right?
Oh, is but it then, stock?
It would be interesting if they would now in Spain incorporate bear fights as well. And then we could all bet on it. And then we could say, are you bullish or bearish on this particular fighter? What if you had to fight them both at the same time? A bull and a bear and a Mata Osador.
Then I'm biting on the
black. That's a word I made up.
I'm betting on the blackish. Are you bullish, bearish, or blackish? That's me. Black and a half. Live long, and prosper.